welcome.
Just lead in when you're ready, mate.
To the Retro Asylum. I've got Mads here. As you, I didn't think you were going to interrupt me, Mads. I thought we were professional. No?
Well, yes. Well, you said you wanted to practice hosting, so I thought I might as well just get it in there.
Might as well rip the Band-Aid off while you can. Yeah. We don't know what episode it is. I'm not going to throw out some weird number.
Nah.
But we are here to do our short pick-ems. I don't know. We want to call these pick-em episodes.
Shortlist episode? Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, Canada shortlist episode.
I'm not sure.
For our February Game Club. I'm really excited. This was kind of a funny one. I was just thinking about earlier when we were kind of throwing around some ideas back in December. I thought kind of a shameful backlog, which I think everybody has some sort of shameful backlog. I don't think anybody, well, maybe Rushy. I don't know if he has a backlog. Dude plays everything.
But he has a very long backlog. He's just very good at working his way through it.
Yeah, I guess that's, I don't know. I'm not good at working through these at all. Chris couldn't join us this morning or afternoon, wherever you are. But he is going to throw in a clip with his two games as well.
Yep.
We're going to go through some shameful backlog of some old and maybe not quite as old. I don't know. I guess I don't know. I guess we'll find out. I'm excited. But before we get into that, Mr. Mads, what have you been up to?
So before I say that, I just want to say to the listeners, this episode theme was Mark's idea, and it was really, really hard picking two off of a huge list, a mental list in my case, of games I should have played these past many, many years, because, man, there are so many that I should have played. But I'm looking forward to seeing what is actually brought forward. We've each picked two, and only three, of course, will go forward to the vote.
Yep. So. Should be good.
Yeah
I've I've talked on before, I've gotten rid of a whole pile of these games off my shelf. And so for me, it was, I'm going to go look at the shelf and see what I've not really ever, because I really kept games that either I have huge nostalgia for or decided I need to play at one point. And both of
what's on your shelves now is something you've had in your hands and thought, this I need to play at some point, or this I loved playing earlier. So should be a good curated set and ready for something like this episode.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Yeah, I'm excited.
But what have I been up to?
What you been doing, Mr. Mads?
Not a lot, because I have been completely engulfed in a war against skeletons and demons and drakes and dragons and huge guards and whatever you can even think of, because I've been playing Dark Souls, mate. So much Dark Souls. And Dark Souls is probably not really retro yet, even though it was released on the PS3 quite early on, I believe. So it is an older game. But we're playing that for playthrough, and I am absolutely loving it and finding it very, very hard to put down. I mean, this morning I got up early, like you do when you're like 12 and you need to get up early before your parents, so you can get a few hours in on the Commodore 64. But I got up early before my kids and went down to the living room and thought, I'm just going to have half an hour before I start the day. And 2 hours later, I had finished one of the side quests and got away from the computer and finally started all of my daily chores. So,
so I was going to ask you, what are you playing this on? Are you playing Dark Souls on the PC?
Yes, I am. I wanted to play it on the PC because I wanted to be able to bring it with me on the Steam Deck. So it just syncs the save games, of course. So
is this the remastered version?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I do have the original version as well on PC, but there were some problems with getting that running, I believe, on the Steam Deck. So I ended up just, instead of faffing about with it, just getting the remastered version instead.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
It's the beauty of the game, but apart from that, I have been playing, this may be old news, probably, to some people. To me, it was news, because the Exodus collection, I don't know if you've heard about that. But
I have heard of the Exodus, yeah.
I was just looking at my archive of all kinds of games that I, of course, own originally here on my shelves as well. And I had the old Exodus 5 collection that I've been playing around with a bit, and I saw that there was an Exodus 6 released. And that is a huge compilation of DOS era games. So everything they could find from the DOS era, 7,000, 8,000 games, maybe even more. I'm not sure.
That's
and it's for crazy. Every single game, it's this package has, there's, you can download media for it as well, so that there are screenshots and even video clips and metadata with description of the games and PC magazines that will talk about the games and all sorts. So for every single game, somebody has painstakingly gone through all the details of configuring DOSBox or Scum VM, sometimes if it's a point-and-click adventure and it runs better there, to configure the game to run perfectly. And there's a setup script that you run, and you can choose basic settings like, I would like my games just to always go full screen. I would like my games to always maintain the aspect ratio so nothing is stretched and then looks like the real thing. And just 5-10 standard settings you say yes or no to in the setup process. And then you have one collection that you control through Launchbox. I don't know if you know Launchbox, but that's
like front end. Okay, yep.
Yeah. And everything that they could find covers for has covers. If it doesn't have covers, they'll have a screenshot there instead. And so everything has just been curated for you to just be able to play. So the only thing you need to do is go into that huge list, find the game you want, and press play. And if it's the first time you press play, it'll say, do you want to install this? And yeah, I want to install this. And off you go.
Wow. So,
wonderful, wonderful piece of work that they've done there. Of course, you need to own these games physically, because otherwise you won't be able to play them legally.
No.
A lot of these games are impossible to get up and running these days by yourself. But these guys have sat down and got everything just configured right, so you can do that. So yeah, hats off to them. And if you really are into your DOS era gaming, have a look at the ExoDOS collection.
Does it just use DOSBox mostly? Is that kind of what it uses as its
back? So the couple of games I tried used the DOSBox ECE. That's the extended community edition of DOSBox. And I believe this collection uses a few different versions of DOSBox, because some games just run better in a specific version.
Wow.
So they've gone through all of that pain of figuring out the setup of all that.
That is wild that they've gone through that hard. I mean, that many games. Yes. I mean, I know there's, you know, with computers, of course, there's hundreds and hundreds and then also thousands. But with DOS, I mean, DOS has been around for 40 plus years, right? So,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Very many games that are playable just at a click of a mouse in Windows, of course. It's a Windows.
Tell everybody how big this file was.
So if you do own all of the games physically, you can, of course, download the whole thing in one go. There's one big torrent. And installed size of that with the media files was just over 1 terabyte, I believe.
Yeah, that's a lot. That is a
it's
lot.
It's crazy.
That's a lot of, yeah. But, you know, I mean, I feel like hard drives are so huge these days, especially if you can, you know, get an old SSD or something. Terabytes don't seem to be that much. I mean, I don't know.
No, if you can get an old spinning rust disk, it's not that much. On an SSD, I mean, these days they are 2 terabytes as well. Not mine though. The largest I have is a half. So I've got an old spinning rust disk in the PC.
Gotcha. Yeah. I got a couple of those M.2s, I think. They were terabytes a piece when I built this thing.
Yeah.
So, forever ago. They were top of the line at the time. So it's kind of fun. Yeah. Already getting
apart from
outdated.
That, I've been playing a bit of Donkey Kong Country. I have to say, apart from the minecart level, I am not really enjoying it. It looks good on the CRT. Some of it looks good. Other pieces, really, other parts of it, like the overworld map, I find hideous. I mean, the graphical style is horrible when it's standing still. When it's moving, it looks kind of good. I do get why it was impressive back in the day. The gameplay, though, it's a bit naff for me.
For not for you, huh?
No, but I will persevere and see if I can get a bit further in. So maybe there.
Do you know about where you made it to? Have you made it to the second minecart level?
Nope, not yet. Not yet.
Okay. Yeah, I just rolled credits this week on it. Yeah, and I don't know. I didn't hate it, so.
No, that's good.
And I made it far. I mean, I played that game as a kid, so a lot of these levels I remember, and a lot of them I was like, no, I don't remember this. So I don't remember how far I got. And it's weird that I wouldn't have beat it, especially with the easy cheat of going back to level one and just getting extra lives. You know, you can front load yourself with some lives, but we'll talk more about that probably next week, maybe. I don't know when we'll record Donkey Kong. So
But it is one of those games that I've heard of when I got my first Super Nintendo, which is, well, just within the last couple of, well, 6, 7, 8 years, I'm not sure. So I actually have Donkey Kong Country 1, 2, and 3 fully boxed for the Super Famicom because they were dirt cheap when I picked up the Super Famicom as well.
Yeah.
And I remember putting it in and thinking, wow, now I get to see what this was all really about, and being very disappointed. And I'm a bit less disappointed this time around because I've given it a proper go, but I'm still no fan.
Not a fan. Yeah.
Cool. Not a fan.
More on that a little later.
Yes. How about you, mate? What have you been up to?
Well, besides Donkey Kong.
And besides cheating on us.
Gosh, I didn't think Andy was going to release that show. Because my voice was so shattered when we recorded that.
I know what you were going for there, but no hope, mate. No hope.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But yeah, I recorded an episode of New Game, Old Flame. It was actually quite a while back, but they released it, and I haven't had a chance. It was just this morning they dropped it. So, we talk this was a waffle episode. It was not supposed to be as such, but it was a lot of fun. We got to talk a lot about shooters, which I love that genre, but I'm not great at them, you know? So, but it's, even though I'm not that great at them, they are one of my favorite genres. Hashtag R-type. So there you go.
Well, you know nothing about them, of course. We've seen that from just a few episodes ago. But it's good that you have some love for it there. I heard you talked about the Dodonpachi on the episode, for example.
Yes.
I absolutely loved when you had that in the game club three or four years ago.
Man, that was so much fun.
I could get to, what was it, level 6 or 7, Chris?
Yeah,
I was getting to on one credit. Yeah.
That's amazing. I don't think I made it past 2 or 3, if I recall. That game was hard. And trying to navigate. And it's a bullet hell. So, if you know the pattern, you can navigate through it. It's just, that game was cool.
But you were talking about Ikaruga as well. I remember I never learned how to control that. That was so hard for me. I mean, switching between the two colors quickly enough, some of the patterns quite early on, they were just impossible for me to navigate.
Yep, I'm the same way, and I absolutely loved Ikaruga. I can't think of the other one, the Saturn game that was kind of its predecessor. But those, I love them. I love the way they look. I love the way they play. They remind me of arcade games. And I think that's why I love them so much.
Yep.
You know, games like Galaga and games like, I won't say R-Type, but, games like that. I love them. And I don't think I've ever... I'm trying to think if there's one that I've ever I'm going to master this game. And I'm definitely not. There's one on the NES that I absolutely love called Gun Neck. And I actually found that game at a swap meet. I mean, early on in the early aughts. And it was one of those games where I picked it up. I'm like, what is this? And I paid $5 for it. And at the time it was worth $30 or $40. And I was like, wow, that's great. So I played it for a little bit, loved it, threw it up on eBay for $30. Nobody bought it after a month. And I was like, I guess I'm going to keep it. And I'm glad I did, because that game's worth a stupid amount of money. And it's one that I've kept because I'd love to get back into that one and maybe try and master that one. I feel like I think I got to level 3 or 4 pretty easily. But yeah,
it's just an NES game, right?
It's an NES game, Famicom game. Yeah. So that's a fun one. But yeah, there's just a million of these type of games, and I love that Wido finally he was like, I think he kind of hadn't really explored the genre as much, and he went full hog, and I mean, he was playing everything for the next month or so. And it was kind of fun to see him kind of explore and find those games.
So we're back after a short technical break because it turns out, people, you shouldn't put your power lead into your HDMI port of your laptop. It makes stuff wonky. So
yeah, that's weird.
Take it away, Mark.
So we're just going to lead back in. So I was the other thing I've kind of been doing, I was inspired by Muppets 4. I mean, kind of. I've been wanting to do this forever, but he bought this GBS control, I think is what it was called, which is kind of a downscaler. So he could hook up a CRT to modern things such as your PC or your Switch, things like that, or your PS5 to a CRT. And it basically takes that HDMI input and it can downscale it to, I think, VGA. And it has like a, it's really odd. It actually has like a Sega Saturn output port. So if you have a SCART cable or a composite cable, you can plug that in and just plug it into your television.
You have one of those?
I don't. No.
Okay.
I have one of these high-end ViewSonic computer monitors. I bought two of these monitors. There was a recycler getting rid of them, and a local guy, one of my local PC retro gaming or retro PC groups, was like, "Hey, this guy's got a pallet of these. He's only asking $25." And God bless my wife, she went down and picked these up for me at work. I was so nervous they were going to disappear. Nobody wanted those. Only me. They're 22-inch.
I would have loved one of those. I would have loved it.
Since I was like, now I'm like, I wish I had bought the palette. They're 22-inch ViewSonic G, let's see, 220F. I remember LGR, the guy that does YouTube, he actually covered that monitor. He had a black one. Outstanding, beautiful, high resolution. Anyway, I was like, I've always wanted to hook this up. So I've had a second one sitting here under my shelf forever. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. So I bought some adapters. Oh my gosh. It took, I have to faff about to get it to work. It's not as easy.
That would just be VGA, right? So just getting a VGA signal.
Yeah. And you would think, okay.
Yeah. But wouldn't a monitor like that have DVI support?
This was in 2002. So I looked up at the model. I had to do all kinds of research to get this to work. And so I have a 3070 card in my PC, which was, you know, high end. Apparently that is a digital only card. Whereas I think the 20s series and back support natively things like DVI and things like that. So anyway, I had to find this adapter. I bought a few of them on Amazon, some cheap ones. They didn't work.
So the thing is, Mark, DVI, the D in DVI stands for digital. So there's you can have a cable that just goes from HDMI to DVI, if I recall correctly, and that'll work. So if the monitor has a DVI input, you should probably try using that. Then you'll get a completely crisp with no fussiness.
There is no, it's VGA only.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
There was no DVI port in this guy. But what I found was I found a thread about certain, I think it's called, was it StarTech? Anyway, adapters that will downscale. They don't specifically say, oh, well, you can use, it basically says you could downscale this to a 1080p. Well, people are like, we've done it on CRTs. I don't know why people aren't making these. Anyway, long story short, I got it to work. The other thing that was killing me was apparently, so I have four outputs on the graphics card, so I can run four monitors. So when I plug it in, it just didn't work. And I specifically bought one that specifically actually said my monitor. So I was like, this is going to work. Plug and play. Got it in. Didn't work. Started checking different ports, screwed up all of my screens that I've got running as I was doing that. But all of a sudden it turned on. And what I found is the 3070 can only, I'm sorry, I'm really faffing about, but you can only run like two 4K monitors or three 1440p monitors, or four 1080p monitors. So, and I think some combination of the three. So I have a 4K, a 1080p, and a 2K monitor all hooked up. And it was just too much for the graphics card to push it. So as soon as I unplugged one of my monitors, it would pop up just fine. So it would recognize it in settings that it was there. It would just say monitor's not active. And I'm like, why isn't it working? Anyway, so I'm probably going to get rid of my little 4K monitor I have hooked up to it. I don't. And then probably put up another 1080p. So I'll have all four displays here at some point. But it was really cool hooking up. I mean, Rocket League recognized 16x1200. I had Half-Life going at that resolution. 1600x1200 looks absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
High resolution on an old CRT. My kid was playing Terraria. He wanted to see what that looked like. It looked, stunning. So that's the kind of stupid stuff I like to do. I don't know why, but yeah, that's me. That's me done. But I think we need to get into this episode proper. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do that. But just to tie the ends here, the stuff I was looking at with the DOS, ExoDOS collection, that would be perfect, the perfect match for that monitor. Because, of course, you need a VGA monitor for most of those DOS games. The older ones, CGA, EGA, but you can't really get your hands on those anymore. But a VGA monitor for my money would be perfect for all those games.
Man, that's funny. Maybe I need to download that. Can you download not the entire terabyte?
Yes, you can. I haven't really looked into it, but there's a version that installs just the launcher and stuff, and then on demand fetches the games, I guess.
Interesting. Okay.
Not sure. Actually, maybe I haven't looked into that at all.
Maybe I'll take a look at that. That would be fun. Once I get the CRT fully properly set up, I'll get a picture of the battle station proper, three monitors plus the CRT. can't beat that with the pyramid controlled computer.
Oh yes,
it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Well, I'm excited to get into these. These are for me two games that are very shameful that I've not played, and I'll be interested to see which one you wipe out.
But yeah, so we decided that we are going to eliminate each one of our games. I'm going to eliminate one of yours, and you're going to eliminate one of mine, and then together we'll eliminate one of Chris's, as he's not here.
Yeah.
Or we could just choose to eliminate both of Chris's and then go with ours.
With our four, he's not even here. No? And then you could kick him, where, because he's one of his games you said he's never played. He's got to play it, so...
Well, that's true.
That's true. Mm. That's worth a trip to the UK.
Yeah, it is.
So, let's see. Should we go ahead? Do you want to go ahead and start off with one of yours, Mads?
Sure. Let's see. I've chosen two, of course, because that was the assignment. Funnily enough, just before we recorded, somebody talked about having finished this game recently on our Discord, which isn't why I picked it. I picked it a few days ago, a week or two ago, when we talked about this. But I have always wanted to play more of the old SNES RPGs, because there are so many of those, and a lot of them get rave reviews still to this day. And one of the games that I've wanted to play for the longest time is Earthbound, also known as Mother 2 in Japan, and something I can't pronounce, so I'm not even gonna try it. It's an RPG. It's developed by Ape and HAL Laboratory, published by Nintendo, of course, for the Super Nintendo. It was released in 1994 in Japan, and later on the English version in 1995. So, of course, we will be playing the 1995 version, because we don't know Japanese. Well, most of us don't. So it's one of those games. Looking at it, it looks just like an SNES RPG. I mean, it has that look, that specific look. It's a top-down view. You're running around, and it's I actually don't even know. I think it's Earthbound is... The battle system isn't active like in Zelda, so it's not an action RPG. It's a true RPG with some turn-based stuff, probably in the action system. Not sure. You're controlling Ness and his little party of friends, and what I know of the story is that some I think some aliens are trying to take over the world, and you are some kids that that need to fight these aliens because all the parents have gone or something. I'm not sure because as I usually do with games that I know I want to play at some point, I've been trying to stay in the dark. I don't want to know too much because I want to experience the story myself. But it is, of course, a very loved game. It's a game that many people have talked about in the years. It wasn't huge back in the day, I believe, in the US release, but later on it's become a sleeper hit. And famously, it was released a year or two ago on the Switch. What's it called? The service where you can play Super Nintendo games.
Switch Online, I think. Yeah,
They
play the old games. Yeah,
it should be easy enough for people to get their hands on, so that people can play along. Because I know a lot of our listeners have Switches, or at least their kids maybe have, so they can borrow that. So it should be easy enough to get your hands on a copy. And please don't try to get your hands on a real copy unless you're very, very rich.
Yeah. This game's always snuck around in the circles, at least here in the States, as if you were a collector, you had to have this game. It was one of those, like you said, nobody knew about it. And the handful of people that did loved it. And I think you're right. I think as time went on, it's been one of those sleeper hits. I, of course, have never played Earthbound, nor have had the desire to. But that doesn't mean I'm going to eliminate it. Nope. It'd be an interesting one. And I mean, who knows? Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I need to change my ways. So.
Well, it's okay that there are some genres you like and some genres you don't. That's just how we are. So I'm not big into racing games, as you know, for example. So no worries right there. But I'm putting forward an RPG here, and I'm liking that looking at this list of games that we are putting forward, we are covering a lot of genres. So that's good.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
So
let's have one of yours then.
Yeah, the first one I thought of, I kind of, like I said, I went down, looked at the shelf, and the first one that stood out to me pretty quickly was Castlevania Symphony of the Night. The game was released 1997 on the PS1. This game is regarded, it was also released on the Sega Saturn. I forget what day or what, looks like 98 on the Saturn. I've heard the Saturn is more regarded, but PlayStation is the one that I have, and it's regarded as one of the most beautiful 2D, sprite-based games that exists. I love Castlevania games. I've never been great at them. I really enjoyed the Rondo of Blood on the TurboGrafx or the PC Engine. I've got that game as one I imported many, many years ago. And played through that and loved it. And I think Symphony of the Night is a little bit more of that, but I think it might even be regarded as a better version, or not version, but just a better game. I don't know. That's all I know of it. How about you? Have you ever touched this one, Mads?
Nope, never. I've heard many people talk about it. That and Rondo of Blood seem to be the high points of the series. And I do believe most people say that this is the best in the series.
So it's definitely shameful that I've not.
Yep.
I have played it.
I can shamefully say I've never played a single Castlevania game. I think I've played the first one on the NES for like 20 minutes, something like that. And then put it down and thought, well, okay, maybe I'll get back to this later. But never did.
Yeah, it's a series that is just beloved, right, by many, many, many people throughout the years. It was one of the very first games I saw when I picked up an X68000. Oh man, it's beautiful on there too. And the music running through the Roland is stunning. It'll be fun if this one gets picked. If not, I mean, it can sit on the shelf for another couple of years. We'll get to it at some point.
Yep. And of course, they're playing through the Castlevania series on the community playthrough channel as well. So at some point, they'll hit it as well.
Oh, that's true. That is true. Well, let's. Chris said he would record in his clips on his two games. And should we go ahead and have a listen to both of those right now?
Yeah, let's just interleave him with us, because now we're doing one at a time. He'll get to do one at a time as well. So let's have Chris talking about Diablo.
Hello, Chris here to introduce the first of my two games. Thanks, Mark and Mads, for holding the fort while I can't be there. Right, so games from my backlog. It's a great idea, Mark, and when you proposed this, I read it as games that I really should have played but haven't. And we know, well, people will know from listening to me talk over the years that there's many of those games. Mads and I often discuss them. We actually pick one of them off. Last year, we played StarCraft, a game that I haven't played and really should have done at some stage. It was nice to get through that, although I still haven't completed it. I must get back to it. I've got two levels left. I really need to finish that, given I've put in 30, 35 hours of it. The first of my choices, then, it's another Blizzard game. And it's actually one that I have dabbled with over the years. A mate of mine, who I lived with when I was in university, really, really liked this game. I think while we were in university, Diablo 2 came out and he was absolutely obsessed with it. And that always made me think, I really should try it. It's a 1996 Blizzard game. And if you haven't already worked out what it is, it's Diablo. Came out for Windows PCs in 1996. It was the PlayStation version that I actually did dabble with towards the end of the 90s. That came out in 1998. A game that probably shouldn't work on the PlayStation, but from recollection, it got pretty good reviews on that platform. A loot 'em up, if you like. One that I know I'll enjoy. Numbers going up, loot to find, monsters to kill, what's not to love. It can also be played online, and I wonder whether there might be the opportunity to get some co-op online going through Battle.net. That seems like it would be such a cool way to play. If it wins, I would hope to play this on the old Windows 98 PC that I have. Seems like it would be ideal for that. And if it doesn't win, then it is a game that I definitely want to check out in the near future. Obviously, just had the latest release in the series last year, which was well received. Yeah, so my first pick or first nomination for this month is Diablo.
And that was Chris on Diablo. Have you ever played Diablo?
I have, yes. Have you? Not a lot, because I found it excruciatingly boring. The whole gameplay of I forget whether it's left or right click stuff till it dies, and then right click something else till it dies, and then right click. It's just this click 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 click.
Lots of clicking.
No brain activity at all. It bored me senseless.
Wow, people love these games. Are they all like this?
He's talking about the first Diablo, and that's what I'm talking about here as well.
Right.
I remember the second one seeming to be better, but I didn't get into it. I played the third one all the way through with a friend, and that was good fun in multiplayer. Played just the first 2-3 hours of Diablo 4 that was released a year ago as well, and I like that. But Diablo 1, I've always found to be, I'd rather watch paint dry.
Wow. High praise from Matt. Well, let's get into your second pick.
Yes. So I think I've already unless the next thing that Chris is talking about is even worse, then I've already said what I'm going to eliminate for Chris.
Yeah, I think you've said your piece.
If I get my way, let's see. My second pick is in yet another category. We've had now an RPG on the SNES. What is Diablo? A right-click stuff until it dies. On the PC or whatever platform you want to play that on. What is it? Hack and Slash? It's not an RPG in any way, really.
It's an over-the-head action RPG.
It's an action game?
I guess it would be an action because it's over the head, right? Kind of
isometric view.
Isometric top down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not sure.
Strategy? I don't know.
Yeah. And you with a platformer. So great stuff so far.
Yep.
I'm going to go to a fourth genre here with the Gabriel Knight's Sins of the Fathers, which is a point-click adventure game developed and published by Share Online, as they did back in the day, in 1993. It's made by, what was she called? Jane Jensen, right? Jane Jensen was the director and the woman who wrote the story as well. I believe, did she write some of the Police Quest stuff as well? I'm not sure, actually.
Oh, I don't know.
She definitely did all of the Gabriel Knight series for them. And it's voiced, so this is a CD-ROM version, or the one that I would put forward is the CD-ROM version, that is voiced by Tim Curry, Mark Hamill, and other people that
you've
heard about before. So it's got a brilliant, brilliant voice actor cast. So I've always heard people talk about this game. It's a spooky game, if I understand it correctly. But again, because I knew I wanted to play this at some point, I've stayed clear of spoilers, so I don't know too much about the game. But I do know you are Gabriel Knight, and you're a writer that's an owner of a rare bookstore in New Orleans, and you are researching some murders around the city. And apart from that, I know nothing. And it's supposedly really, really good and a high point in the point-and-click genre, but I've never played it. My good friend Anas, that I used to play point-and-click games with, we used to actually back in the day, because we didn't have a lot of money, we would take turns buying the newest point-and-click adventure game. Well, and then actually we always bought them together, and then one of us, we would take turn in who would get to keep the copy, and the other one would borrow it and play through it as well. So if for example, when we bought Beneath the Steel Sky, I got to keep the box, so he got to play it first. So we bought it, funny. He got to bring it home, finish it, then I could get it and finish it as well.
That's great. That's a fun way to do it. So is this the very first Gabriel Knight game, or is this into the series?
No, this is the first one, so Chris will be happy.
That'll make him
I
so
do
happy.
Believe actually Chris already played this. Not sure. But no, okay. It's a series of three games, and there was talk about a fourth game, I believe, as well, but it never came out. But yes, this is the first entry in the series from 1993.
Yeah, I've always heard about Gabriel Knight. In the big box PC collecting world that's on Facebook, there's a huge, huge group there. Gabriel Knight always seems to get brought up, and people love that point and click adventure. So, yeah, you're bringing
me the original here somewhere, but as I've told on the show many, many times, no boxes or anything like that anymore, because at some point I didn't have space for all that stuff, so I threw it out. But I do have the CDs still.
Somewhere hiding. You're bringing me two genres that I'm just not that familiar with. RPGs, know, and point and clicks.
And I think the two, I'd love to play both of them. This is probably going to be the harder one to get into for you, I think. But
yep.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, let's see. My second pick, unless you have anything else to say about Mr. Gabriel Knight.
No. That's it for me.
Okay. So it's funny. I'm going with two games that Mads, or not games, but genres where Mads is like, platformers, since he loves Donkey Kong, and racing games, which he loves.
I actually do love platformers, especially I know those you do. That need some skill. And I do love platformers.
You're Rick Dangerous.
I like Rick Dangerous, yes. But I just don't appreciate Donkey Kong Country that much. And I'm not a huge Sonic fan, as you know, as well, but I loved Sonic 2. That was good.
Yeah, I know you like platformers. Racing games. So this is Road Rash. Now, I have played Road Rash, and I have fond memories of playing Road Rash as a kid on the Sega Genesis. But I never owned a Genesis, and so I played this at a friend's house where we, sleepovers and things like that when I was in high school. But I don't remember beating it. I don't remember really much about it. So I've always loved the series, only because I had that little ping of nostalgia for it. So I wanted to play it proper on the 3DO. It's one of the three games I kept I think I kept a few more than that, but it's one of the handful of games I kept for the 3DO when I got the ODE for it. Mm. And it's supposed to be the best version between, you know, it's on the Sega CD. It's on the Genesis, Mega Drive, and I think it's on the Saturn.
Yeah, I believe so, too.
It's on the PlayStation, apparently. I don't know. It's on all these things, but it's apparently one of the best games on the 3DO. And so, I mean, it would be fun to kind of take a look at all of these. Road Rash, they tried to do a modern day version called, and I never tried it. Something Rampage, I think. Anyway, why has this not been integrated into modern? I don't know. It's just racing motorcycles. You can beat each other up when you're driving. The timing is really wonky. This is a game made by Electronic Arts. 1994 is when it was released on the 3DO. So have you played much Road Rash?
Only on the Genesis, I believe. So the Mega Drive.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'd love to play this one properly. As I recall, you can, you know, you go through the levels, you earn money, and you can kind of upgrade and level up. Your policemen chase you. Sometimes if you punch somebody enough, you steal their weapon, their whip. It's such a goofy.
Okay. So there is some progression. Yeah. I mean, if you say you can level up and
I believe so.
Okay. That sounds interesting. That makes it a lot more interesting to me, at least, because just racing and punching guys sounds a bit boring.
Oh, Mads. But the music is also, on the Genesis Mega Drive, I'm guessing they probably have a crazy licensed soundtrack, because I believe, on the cover of the 3DO version, it has Soundgarden, you know, stuff like that. Okay. So it's probably licensed on the 3DO, but... Mm. Because they're like, well, what do we do with all this space? Let's put CD music on. So, exactly. I don't know. Everything I think it would be really fun. Book. Yeah. So Road Rash was my second pick. Yeah. Kind of shameful. I have played it, but not like I would have played it or today, you know, where I've really sunk the time into it. So
good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice, mate. So are we ready for Chris's second pick?
Yeah, let's do it.
My second choice then is one that I really should have played. It's a game that's come up between Mads and me many, many times. Mads can never quite believe that I have never played it. Look, you can't play everything, right? And this does feel like one that I really, really should have played. It's a 1991 grand strategy game, originally released for DOS PCs. It's been released on multiple platforms over the years, particularly throughout the 90s. Developed and published by Microprose. If you still not have a twig what this is, it's Civilization. Civilization, I have never played a Civilization game for more than around 15 minutes. Despite loving the music, big shout out to Baba Yetu, one of my favourite pieces of music of all time, I've never actually sat down and played any of the games, partly because I'm scared of being completely and totally addicted to them, which I suspect will happen if this wins. Now, you know me, I'm always tempted to go back to the original, play the very original version of stuff. That would mean the 1991 DOS version. If this does win, I'm actually going to pick it up and play it on the Amiga. And that is because that's the way I would have played it back in the day. In the early 90s, I had an Amiga, didn't get my PC until 1995, 96-ish. So the Amiga would have been the computer I had at home and would have been the platform I would have played it on. I know that's the version that Mads played the hell out of back in the day. I'm not sure which platform he'll play it on this time if it wins, but I'm sure the Amiga version is very close to his heart. And Mark may go for one of the for the Mac, maybe, and a more American-centric computer. I'd love to be given the good old shove to have a go at this. I'm sure I would love it. It's a massive game not to have ever played. So yeah, my second nomination, Civilization.
And that was Chris on Civilization. I believe he has never played this game.
That is just crazy. Should have played Civilization.
Pushed to pick this one from a certain long bearded host. I don't know.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, you're not.
So did you ever play it, mate?
You know, Civ. No, I don't think I've ever played Civ. I was more of a SimCity guy. But Civilization. What's the difference between? I mean, I know SimCity. You're building things because I love
SimCity. Is more of a sandbox playground. This actually has a goal. I mean, and it's so much larger and more complex than SimCity. You start. I believe 4,000 years before Christ is the starting point.
Okay.
And then you go through turns where you start just with a settler and maybe one or two military units, I'm not sure. But you start at least with a settler, and a settler can settle down and establish a city. So you find a good spot, you establish a city. You need to think about your spot because every single square, which it is, it's squares in Civilization, it has different resources. So it'll produce different amounts of trade and food, and there's some and work as well, and work units of work, and you need that for building new stuff in your city. So within the city, you can build new buildings, you can build new units like a new settler or some military units. You need to build some military units to defend the city. So some units are good at that. You need to build other units to go explore and to beat the other guys. And then you will be competing with six other civilizations that will be starting at 4000 BC as well. Computer controlled in this game. And then you need to either conquer them all, so in the end you're the only civilization left on the world, or you can be the first who goes into space. I believe that's a win condition as well. And then there are different ways of winning this game, and it takes hours and hours. I remember playing this on the Amiga, and every single turn in the late game where every computer opponent will have 20 cities to control and lots of units to move around would take maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes. So I'd do my turn and then I'd go away and get a cup of tea whatever. And then the computer would be done with its turn and then I'd move on. It was so much better when I got it on my 486 PC. That was so much faster. But on the old Amiga, it was chugging along. So.
Just slow. Yeah, and I know a few people here, a few people I chat games about, they loved Civilization 1 and 2.
Yes,
as I recall. So I don't know much beyond the series, but
I absolutely adored Civilization 1, 2, and 3. I believe I played a lot of Civilization 4 as well, and that's when I stopped. I haven't played the recent installments really.
So we'd be probably playing this one on the PC then, I would assume.
Yes.
Not the Amiga.
Yeah. Yeah, these days you could play it on the Amiga and just speed it up, of course. I mean, you could play it. I had an old A500, so I'm guessing playing it on an OO on an A1200 would run fine.
Probably run a bit quicker. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's a beauty of a game. My wife used to love to play Civilization 2. She spent far too many hours on that at night when she wasn't studying, I remember, back in the day.
That's cool. Civilization. Wow. Okay. Well, I say it's about
strategy game as well. So what have we got? We've got strategy, we've got RPGs, we've got adventure, point and click adventure, we've got platformers, we've got a racing game, and then whatever Diablo is.
a click simulator.
Cow clicker. It's if you look at Wikipedia, it is classed as an action role playing game. I guess it is then. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and start wiping these out. Should we go ahead and do Chris's first?
Yeah. Yep. Let's.
I mean, I can tell that you're leaning towards Civilization. That's one that you may or may not.
Thinking this is going to be your decision because I dislike Diablo and I love Civilization, so, and I really think Chris should play it at some point. So I'm definitely going to eliminate Diablo. So what do you say, mate?
Yeah, I'm good with that too. I've really no skin in the game on either one. I mean, and if you love Civilization that much, I would be okay to give that a shot too. So I'd say, yeah, let's go ahead and kill Diablo.
Cool. So one thing, I'm not sure about Diablo, whether you could, in this day and age, do it multiplayer, which could be fun to do.
It would be fun,
I
sure.
I do believe, I remember back in the day when I was at uni, there were this re-implementation of Civilization that had multiplayer, and I'm sure that is still running. So I think we could actually play some multiplayer Civilization some evenings. That could be good fun.
That sounds horrendous to me, because that would be, I would just get destroyed pretty quick.
But it's no very, strategy. Very slow game, so you would be sitting chatting with us and then slowly getting destroyed. So it wouldn't be just
a slaughter fest like you guys were doing back on Command and Conquer. Yeah.
Okay, so Diablo goes the way of the dodo. So Chris has got Civilization left. That goes on to the vote. Mate, come on, take one of my games.
Yeah, I'm really in a pickle. I'm leaning towards killing Gabriel Knight, only because we just had a point and click adventure, and I did not get on with Indiana Jones.
Yeah, you're right. We did just play Indy, of course. Yeah,
and even if we don't ever get Gabriel in a...
So Gabriel Knight is a detective game. So whether it works as a regular point and click or it's a different kind of interface, I'm not sure. But you have to put yourself in the mind of a detective from one of those TV shows that you've probably watched a lot of and try to solve a murder case. So if that appeals to you, then Gabriel Knight. If you'd rather play a classic SNES RPG, then Earthbound, of course.
And of course, we just have a Super Nintendo game now. So yeah, you really got me in a pickle. Nah. Yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and get rid of Gabriel Knight. And I think only because Earthbound's, I don't know how long that game is per se, but it might be too short for a RPG double month later in the year.
Okay.
And I think Gabriel Knight's one that we could always bring back. And or if you decide to, you know, pull like one of your Monkey Island where you're like, I'm just going to do an episode on the series or something. Might be fun too.
To pull a Monkey Island. I like that.
Pull a Monkey Island like you did with Jim and that.
I've got no idea about how long Earthbound is supposed to be. But let's see.
Yeah. So I'll go ahead and get rid of Gabriel Knight. We'll keep Earthbound.
Okay. I'm okay with that. And you have Road Rash and Castlevania Symphony of the Night. So just a few minutes ago, I thought that was an easy choice because I really don't like racing games that much, especially because I thought it was just a one-off racer. But now you tell me there's stuff you can level up and buy and you can progress in the game. And there's actually a bit more to it than that. And with a proper soundtrack as well. It sounds intriguing.
It's kind of interesting. I'm pretty sure, let me just see if I can find. I'm pretty sure that you can, that you earn money and then you buy bikes and make it a little quicker so you start going faster. I loved all of those series. They all had their unique. Sometimes you would have like Road Rash 3D and the physics were just you'd crash and your guy would fly like a quarter of a mile and then he'd get up and run back. Yep. It was just so silly. I'm almost certain that you get a level up. I honestly can't say for sure, but I don't think you just, it's not like Outrun 2 where you're just the same car blasting through a series of tracks. Pretty sure that you level up.
Yeah, it does sound interesting. And Road Rash, I know a lot of people love Road Rash, but on the other hand, Castlevania Symphony of the Night is actually one of the games on my list as well that I need to play at some point, so maybe we should just put that forward. I'm going to eliminate Road Rash, as everybody knows. I am going to eliminate Road Rash. So we have Earthbound, Civilization, and Symphony of the Night, Castlevania Symphony of
it's
the
gonna
Night.
It's going to be a tough. It's going to be a tough vote. Those are some. Some heavy,
those
heavy,
are some heavy, heavy hitters, hitters. Yeah. In three different genres. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to show us which kind of people listen to the show and interact with us on X and yeah. wherever we post these voting links.
Very yeah. very cool. Well, I'm liking it. I'm excited for February. I'm happy Donkey Kong made it, and I'm excited to record in the next week or two with Chris and maybe yeah. you, depends of how much and you really want to get into.
Maybe a guest host as well.
And maybe a guest host. So, yeah.
That'd be good.
Well, that's it. That's all I got. Mads, what do you got? You got some shout outs?
Shout outs to the new game, Old Flame Guys, and to you, Mark, because you have been living in my ears a couple of hours today because you just released the new Shoot 'em Up episode. What was it called? Shoot 'em Up Chicken something? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Screaming Chicken? I don't know.
Screaming Chicken? That was it. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Those guys are, no, but those guys
that
are
was
great.
Good fun, that episode. I still have like half an hour left because it was a 3-hour episode, I believe. But those guys keep on putting out good stuff. So good on them. And yeah. Shout out to Carl from the Video Game Newsroom Time yeah. Machine, who just released a new episode as well. I'm looking forward to getting to a point in my life where I have time to actually co-host with him sometimes again. But right now, I'm just too busy for it. And
yeah, I hope you can. I really enjoy when you get on there with him. His I really like his episodes. His show's great. It's they're so long and so well thought out. And I mean, I gave him a shout last episode, but I always appreciate the history, and he really takes, instead of just the history of the game, he really looks into the history of the business aspect, which I find it's just a kind of a different, divergent.
It's a different take on it than a lot of other people in the podcasts I listen to have, at least. So,
yeah, definitely. So I'm excited to listen to a new one from him.
And apart from that, shout outs to the Retro Game Squad guys as well. They just sent pictures from, they were at MAGFest and seemed like they're having a lot of fun. And their recent episode on racing games that Jeff got to be the helm of was great as well. So I always love listening to those guys. So
yeah, you've been a fan of them forever. Yeah,
I have. And to all of the other content creators that I haven't mentioned as well. There's so much good stuff to listen to and watch in this little hobby of ours. So go out and check it out. There's much to be found on the podcasts, wherever you listen to that, and on YouTube, for example. So
I agree.
All good stuff.
And same goes out to the shout-outs to the rest of the Retro Asylum folks that aren't here today. And the Retro Movie Club. This kind of theme would work really well there, you know, having your shameful backlog of movies that you've never watched. And so I'm sure as they go along, I mean, they've got an infinite amount of things to look back and watch and talk about. They're still on Alien 3's. It's not a director's cut.
I believe that's where they are right now. I won't be watching that with them because I've seen that so many times, so I'll just listen to the episode. But I only listened to the beginning of the Final Countdown episode just up until they start talking about the movie, because I want to watch that before listening to the show. Hmm. And I found you can buy that quite cheaply, so I should have a copy coming.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. So shout out to those guys, and shout out to the Discord, where we just keep on keeping on. It's great, great bunch of people there going on and on and on about all kinds of random things outside of games as well. So come join us. And that's it for me.
Well, I'll see you in a few days or weeks whenever we get together for that Donkey Kong Country episode then.
Sounds good, Mads. Okay.
See you later.
We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures.